Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Intimate Knowledge with Megan King. Shh, it's a show about sex.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Intimate Knowledge. I'm your host, Megan King. You can find me on Instagram at Megan King, or check out my retreats at GaiaHavenExperience.com. A lot to get to today, and I want to start, first of all, with an update on my life. I have a fun story for you guys. Then we're going to chit-chat just for a minute about Kim Zolciak and Croy Bierman breaking up. Splitsville, unfortunately for them. And then finally, we're going to bring in Haley DeSola Pinto. She is from Below Deck. She's the fiery redhead on the show, fiery in every way. So I'm excited to have her on and chit-chat with her. So let's get started. So guess what? I met this guy on a dating app. We've kind of been chit-chatting for a couple weeks, and he calls me the other day, and we're like, yeah, we want to meet. He lives in Vegas. And I said, just come in. Why don't you come into St. Louis? I have a derby party. He did. I couldn't get Will to fly into St. Louis to save his life. He did come in one time. Bless his little heart. But this guy flies in for a first date just for a few hours. I had my kids, so didn't stay with him. He didn't stay at my house. Got a hotel, just like a regular first date, as if he lived in town. But y'all, you're going to die. I totally screwed it up. So I have really had I've struggled with trusting people for a little while, and I really just felt like I trusted this guy, and I felt super comfortable with him. A little too comfortable, because I ended up spilling everything about all of my, it's like the ultimate red flag of things you don't do on the first date. Like, I told him about my co-parenting situation with Jim and how it's non-existent, how all I want is a co-parent in my life. I mean, it was how like my job is kind of in flux right now, and da da da. Like, it was not good. Okay. So then the next morning, it ended fine and everything. The next morning I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, what did I do? So I'm texting my best friend, giving her the rundown scoop on what happened. And I texted her, well, in his defense, or I said, in my defense, he basically said he misses his wife, ex-wife. I sent that text to him. I was mortified. I was in my shower and I was like, because he responded right away. And he's like, I didn't give you that impression. I don't think this text was meant for me. I was in the shower and I like could see my phone and I started screaming to the point where one of my kids came in the bathroom and was like, mommy, is everything okay? I'm like, oh my gosh, Hayes, I just sent the text message to the wrong person. He goes, oh no, mommy. I'm like, I know. Tell me about it. It was so embarrassing. So anyways, things seem to be smoothed over. I mean, we've still been texting and I think we still have plans to see each other. So I'll keep you posted on that. But that's my latest. I want to talk about Croy Bierman and Kim Zolciak. So she filed for divorce with, she said, due to irreconcilable differences. She's asking her for full custody, main custody of the kids. They have four together and then he has two stepkids that Kim has, two older ones. And she wants, so shared legal custody and majority physical custody, primary physical custody. I don't know what happened here. So I do know that, you know, about a month ago, there was all that rumor that they were entering foreclosure on their house. And then like it ended up not happening. It was pulled off. So I think that, you know, if there is financial stress, yes, of course, that's one of like the killers of any relationship, especially a marriage. So maybe that's it. I don't know. I just got this weird feeling though when I read this story that he cheated and he seems like such a nice guy and I hope I'm totally wrong. I just really got this weird feeling about it. So I was really surprised when I saw this, but I think, you know, if there is a financial struggle in any sort of way, that can lead people to make decisions that they wouldn't normally make, rash decisions, irrational decisions. And maybe that's what happened. I literally have no idea, except that that was the feeling that I got. So Kim wants primary physical custody and I have primary physical custody, but I think this is misleading because it's not saying she wants full custody. And also primary custody can still be 50-50. But you like the residential parents' address would be listed on things. It's kind of just like a, you know, weird thing that people put to say, like, where does the mail go for the kid? So that could mean primary custody in the state of Texas. I think that's where they are. I have a friend there and that's exactly what happened. It's like a residential address more than anything else. And I feel so terrible for the children. The kids, the youngest kids are 11, 10, and 9-year-old twins. That's young. And that's old enough to recognize what's going on. They live with their parents. It's very sad. And then the older two, they're 25 and 21. I feel like they have established relationships with Croy that are probably just going to remain, you know, the same. I doubt that there's going to be much change there since those girls are basically out of the house at this point. They're grownups. Interesting though, that Kim said choosing to love a person day in and day out is a choice. And a lot of times people are quick to throw in the towel. I don't want to throw shade on her saying this quote at all because things can change quickly in relationships. As we saw from the last episode of Intimate Knowledge with the reunion of our two favorite Love is Blind friends, Danielle Rule and Nick Thompson. But back to Kim, I think that you do have to I think that's very relatable. You do have to decide to choose to love your partner every single day. And she decided not to anymore. And I don't think that she seems like a person who's really just ready to give up on a relationship. But I don't know. I think there's more to this story. So as this unfolds, I will keep you posted. You guys, I'm excited because we have Haley DeSola Pinto on the show with us. I have been watching her on Below Deck. She's so much fun. She really brings the energy to her home on St. David, the yacht, this beautiful, insane yacht that I'm super jealous that I wasn't on now that I watched the show.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation,
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have Haley from Below Deck with us. Hello, Haley. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. And we have Trossy from Below Deck with us. But this is a little bit of a unique combination because Haley is a crew member on the St. David on Below Deck. And Trossy, you were just a guest.
Right.
Tell me about this. What is going on here? How does this work out?
It was love at first sight, wasn't it?
Literally. I got on the boat. And I just saw Haley and I was like this fiery British gorgeous redhead.
Yeah.
And I like as soon as like we got on the boat, I grabbed her and I go, okay, girl, let's go to the bar. Like, give me all the tea. Like,
I mean, you were with all the pageant queens and Haley, your hair is very pageant queeny and you're gorgeous. Like, you look like you could have fit right in. Like, you would have fit right in with them, like, but without the drama.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd go with that. Yeah, but I just got you drunk, didn't I?
It was great. I mean, it's just, I was like, all right, girl. So are you like doing anyone on the boat? Do you have a boyfriend? Like, tell me the tea.
Is that, but like, is that encouraged between the crew and the guests?
Not really. What, getting with people?
Well, like, no, just becoming friends or whatever in general.
Actually, on super yachts, it's quite, you've got to be really professional. Like, you should know, you can't, like, if you're seen to be having, like, too much fun with guests, they don't really like it, if I'm honest. But who gives? I don't really care.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could get fired. That would suck.
But she was also just being really nice and like doing her job, I guess. But we just took it to another level.
I feel like that. Every job that I've ever had on boats, I think that's the only place, like that's the only time really that I've ever been told off, is because I speak to guests too much. Don't get jealous. not more than I love you. It's always been, I just build relationships with guests quickly. Just I'm just a very open person and, you know.
Yeah, easy. You seem like it. Okay, so I need the whole rundown. I need the whole scoop on everybody in the boat. So fans were very vocal about Captain Sandy versus Captain Lee. So what was it like working with both of them?
Amazing. I am really so lucky to have the opportunity to work with both those captains. I've watched Below Deck for years, and I was actually a little bit of a fan before I went on the show. So
okay.
To have both captains was incredible. So
was their dynamic different?
Yeah, like absolutely. Like every single captain is going to have like different style. But equally, like I love both the way that they work. You know, they're just very, very different.
Very different. I was like, I got a little uncomfortable at times, you know, watching the show. Like, oh my God, don't do that. Or, because I mean, they're captains. They're like, you know, they need to run their tight ship, and then you guys are out there, all your personalities. Okay, this has nothing to do about the show, but Haley, I have to ask you a question. I'm looking at your screen. I'm looking at you, and I see a head in a mirror behind you. What is?
Is it Joss?
Megan is Barbara.
Is it?
Ups over there. Don't worry, I'm not completely nuts. Well, I am, but my clinic room. This is my clinic room where I do aesthetics.
Oh, right. Yes. Because you you own Class and Aesthetics.
Yes, I do. I own Class and Aesthetics. Now it makes a bit of sense. You probably thought, what the hell is going on there?
Now it's all, yes, it's all coming together. Okay. I mean, and this is what, and that's what you mainly do, right?
Yeah. I mean, I do temporary work on the boat still.
You do.
But, you know, that's just temp stuff. It's like a week here, a week there. But I haven't done that for a while. I haven't done it since filming the show. So this is my bread and butter, the aesthetics.
Has filming the show helped your aesthetic business?
Yes, a lot. Yeah, definitely. I'm a lot busier. I tend to get a lot of people messaging me on my Custom Aesthetics Instagram. And I think like, oh, right, okay, it's a potential client. It's not. It's just someone that's wanting to talk to me. But
it's
they make
a fan.
And they're in America for a start. So I doubt they're going to be coming to the south of England for Botox anytime soon.
So are you going to go back to Below Deck? Because you, I mean, you have this big business that you're running, and you said you don't, you know, you're not concerned about like, you know, if you talk to guests or whatever. So does that mean you're not going back?
No, I mean, I'd love to go back. I would absolutely love to go back. I really enjoy most aspects of stewardessing. I mean, obviously, I'm not really that keen on some parts of the job, like laundry and cleaning, like that. But yeah, traveling part, the meeting new people, yeah, the just being impulsive and just being called away last minute. And I love that. That keeps
That's
me
cool.
feeling. Yeah.
Okay, so I was watching last night. I was getting all caught up, and I was watching when they fired when Captain Sandy fired. Oh my gosh, help me out, Alyssa.
Yeah.
Oh. Do you agree with that or not?
She fired.
For firing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was the right move. I very much like Alyssa. I get on with Alyssa. There isn't actually anyone on the boat that I don't get on with. But yeah. I do think it, you know, she did the right thing from a professional view. Like, yeah, it was the right move to make.
And you guys
sure
were seem so much more cohesive after that.
Yeah. There just felt like there was less tension.
Yeah.
Happy because I was in a team with two gay men. So I was on cloud nine, basically.
She loved that.
Totally.
She comes to LA and she's queen of the gays.
Oh my God. Honestly, yeah, there we go. There we go, queen of the gays. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, it instantly did feel a lot calmer, definitely.
Okay, so Tracy, I want to ask you something. So you come on the show as a guest on Below Deck. You walk in with all of these pageant women, like dressed to the nines with the lashes and the gowns and the everything and fake hair. And even the butt cutlets.
Yeah. Oh my God, I forgot about that scene until I saw it.
Yeah. So what was it like for you? And then your story was so interesting. You shared it. Can you tell us what that is?
Yeah. So basically what happened is that all of the girls were on the boat. We all got on the boat at the same time. If you notice, Susan, who was in the red dress at dinner the night with the blonde hair, she wasn't in the intro with us because she got on the boat late.
Okay.
Because the flight got messed up or something. Okay. So she got on the boat and I didn't meet her actually until dinner. And all the girls already knew the story of like what happened.
I was wondering about that because I was like, was this produced? Like, was a producer like talk about this? Okay. So you were just like organically telling.
It came up totally random. And the way that the show did it, I mean, they did it really well, but it didn't like really show how we got into that conversation because it was basically like, they were talking about their husbands and their families. And then Laura, the primary, was like, well, John was married to a woman. And I was like, yep. And I was like, quiet. I was like, that's all I'm saying. And then Susan was like, oh my God, did you have any kids or anything? And I was like, oh, here we go.
No shit.
Yeah. And actually what the show also didn't really air or anything is that our daughter, when she was born in 2016, was born with a heart defect. And so literally like 2 days after birth, she basically died and they brought her back. And we lived in Children's National in DC for a year and a half, or for a month. And then she came home on a feeding tube for 4 months. And, you know, that wasn't fun every single day, poor girl. And she had ripped it out. We had to put it back in. And we were basically like nurses at that point and like knew exactly how to handle and take care of her. And then when she was 6 months old, she had her open heart surgery. And then I stayed home with her to like nurse her back to health because my wife didn't have any maternity leave left. And then a month after her open heart surgery, my wife actually found out the news the same weekend that she told me, because her biological father had the results kept them until then.
So this wasn't your baby.
And then she told me she wasn't my biological daughter. Yeah. But it was like, it was amazing because like he had been watching and saw me as a dad to her. And we all decided together that like, I wanted to stay in her life. They wanted me to be in her life. So actually for a year and a half after they moved to, they left DC, I went and visited her every single month for a year and a half so that she wouldn't forget who I was.
But wait a minute, hold on, back up. Yeah. Did you guys just decide like, did they decide, okay, we're going to try to be in a relationship with each other?
Oh yeah. So they like were in love and they ended up, he divorced his wife.
I mean, weren't you hurt though? She still cheated on you.
100%. I mean, you know, it was the hardest thing I'd ever gone through. And
I'm so sorry.
It was very touch and go for a little bit, but I'm just a very like positive person. And I woke up one day, I was so depressed for so many months. And I just woke up one day and I was like, you're not this person. Like, you're not sad. Like, you got to snap out of this. And I did somehow. And I just called my two best friends and I was like, listen, my ex-wife didn't like to travel. I love traveling. I'm going to Italy for 2 weeks. Are you coming with me or not? And I just started a new life and like revamped myself basically and revamped my thinking. And then it took a year, but I ended up finding myself more. And then I came out a year later at DC Pride in 2018.
Now, okay. So at what point did you think about like exploring your sexuality or, you know, whether deciding that you were gay or whatever, figuring it out?
No, I've actually always been with both men and women. And I lost my virginity to a man when I was 15.
Okay. So did you consider yourself bisexual?
You know, not really. I just like, it was a suppressed thing that I didn't, I'm Irish Catholic growing up. Like,
same.
So I just didn't really, I didn't want to believe that like that was actually real. And so I just like always knew that I needed like the white picket fence and, you know, the wife and everything.
It's a great way to screw us up.
Yeah, right. And then, but I fell in love with her so in such a genuine, real way. And she was such an amazing person. And to this day, she's still, I mean, we talk all the time. And, you know, I just fell in love with her as a person. And everything was like normal marriage. Wow. And yeah, we loved each other.
That's
and
unfortunately,
we were just two opposite. They're amazing together. They're like perfect fit. Like they work together, and her and I just didn't work together. So
if you could rewrite history, is there anything that you would change about that?
Absolutely not. Only because everything brought me to where I am today, and it made me who I am. And I am literally stronger than anything. I can go through anything. I can deal with anything. And I just know how to like deal with situations now way better than I did before. And, you know, we basically put our little girl first and like put our feelings and emotions to the side. And I don't think a lot of people can do that or know that they can do that. And I think that's a great life lesson for people to know that like, sometimes like if you put the children first, if you like focus on other things other than yourself, there's amazing things that could come from it. And now we are literally like the most real modern family you could ever imagine, because he had a wife and two kids, and then they also had another daughter together. And
whoa.
So they have four kids. And then I'm Papa John, who comes in town and is like the funny gay uncle.
Haley, has any other guest ever gotten that vulnerable on the ship before?
Trying to think. Definitely not my season for sure.
Well, so what did the crew think of his story?
I remember I was actually on dinner service when Tom was telling this story, and I actually do remember like eavesdropping a little bit as I do and thinking, oh my God, like I was so shocked to hear. And actually when I came and stayed with you, John, you told me everything, didn't you?
Yep.
In that bed, actually.
Yes. We cuddled together. It was every morning. She's like, good morning, darling. And I was like, oh my God, this is awesome.
I know, you have a great voice.
Now I come to your room, I'm like, please. So you told me all about it. And actually, you just never know, like, the story. I have no idea what somebody has been through. And you are just so positive and just such a amazing, like, colourful person. And just normally if someone has gone through something really bad, you can kind of like, you kind of feel it from them a little bit, like they have a little bit of bad energy, but there is not like 1 ounce of bad energy on you. I just kind
of... Same with you.
That's such a compliment.
Thank you.
Well, so you guys slept together in that bed. So you're in tight quarters. Back to those tight quarters. What was it like sleeping on the ship in those close quarters?
If I'm honest with you, Megan, you get used to it like really quick. If I'm honest, you get used to just having no sleep in general. All I'm going to say is when you get back to land and you get into a king size bed, it's absolute heaven. I can't tell how good that feels. But actually being in a tiny little bunk bed, it's especially if you're top bunk as well, because I'd always wake up and smack my head on the ceiling.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I would, too. I'm 5'11". I would smack my head on everything.
Yeah.
We didn't see that, though. And I was really happy after it aired. I was just like, oh, my God, they could have showed so much stuff.
Oh, really?
I used to get Haley falling out of bed. So, yeah.
That's amazing. Okay, but you were in a relationship on the show. Are you still in a relationship, Haley? Okay.
I am. I've been with my boyfriend now for 4.5 years.
You guys seem really close from what they showed on the show.
We are. We've got like a very adult, this is gonna sound weird, like adult relationship, but it's like a mature relationship. Like he works away, I'm away a lot. So like we don't need to speak to each other every day. There's not like pressure to like always be, you know, texting each other and checking in. It's a really cool It's a friendship as well. You know, it's a really cool laid back relationship. And I think that's why it was so easy for me to go on to the show. I mean, a lot of boyfriends would be like, hell no, you're not going on a reality TV show. But he's just so cool with all of it. He was so supportive. Like, that's great. Like, to have a boyfriend that is supportive of that.
Trozzi, have you met him?
Well, I haven't met him, but I love him because, I mean, he lets her come to LA and stay with me for 10 days. So, yeah, he's really awesome.
What does he do for work? Does he work in the business as well?
No, but similar, because he does work on boats. He works offshore as a driller.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't tell you exactly what he does. This is really bad.
Stop. Why not?
I just know that he does very well for himself, and he disappears week to time. And also has to live in tiny little spaces as well, so he gets the whole like cabin fever.
See, like one of those jobs where it's like 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, or something.
Yeah, so it's 1 month on, 1 month off, which is actually really nice, and I think it's lovely to have, you know, a month away from each other because you really, come on, like you appreciate the time that you have together.
I could not agree more. I am such a fan of long distance relationships. Like, I think ultimately, you know, ending up or having the intention to end up in the same spot, or like it, what I say, it doesn't even have to be the same like home base. It's like hopefully sleeping in the same bed the majority of the nights that you're like of your life. Like, that would be the ultimate goal that I have, but that doesn't even necessarily have to mean living together.
Right. I like that.
We don't live together in my own house. He's got his house and it works. He comes and stays here and, you know, I spend time there and it's great. And actually, you know, by the time he leaves, I'm really quite happy to see the back of him.
Well, you love the side of the back of his head as he exits the door. How romantic, Haley.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder,
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But it's kind of a dichotomy. Think about it. Because here you are, you're on a ship, you're sleeping in these tight quarters, you're with people, you literally cannot leave their side. You don't even know them when you go into the situation. And yet you're like, I like my space away from my partner. So like, tell me about that dynamic with the being on the ship and like working with these people who you didn't choose to be in your life.
Okay. So I was so happy to just be there, if I'm totally honest. I'm so happy to
be there.
You have
a great attitude. You like you can
she really
feel
does.
It on the show too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt like there's not a lot of people that get this opportunity, and I've got this opportunity. So actually, days that I started to feel a little bit, you know, a bit, I was tired, I was getting teasy. Obviously, there was quite a bit of drama on my season, and it started to get a little bit, you know, get a bit intense. When I was feeling like that, I'd kind of just like have a little word with myself, have a little breather, and just be like, hey, like, I've got, I don't know, 3 weeks left on this boat. I can do this. This is fine. I have this. And I just, to be honest, I learned a lot about myself being on the show, because I realized that I'm a lot more patient than I ever gave myself credit for. And it is hard. It's very hard working and living in confined spaces, because I'm one of those people that as soon as I wake up, and Chossy, you'll tell me, you'll agree with this, when I wake up, I like to have my like 10, 15 minutes where I sit on my phone, check all my socials.
The same way.
Lovely. Well, we've understanding when we were
Haley,
together.
You should tell her what we do every morning with each other.
Oh god,
like literally
tell me.
I wake up because we're in such different time zones, so when I go to bed, I'm getting messages from her like when she's waking up, and so we send each other voice memos and DMs every single like day basically. We just catch up with each other that way.
That's
you're
awesome.
Coming party and I'm waking up and having breakfast and you're like, well, 6 a.m. here. Just getting in. I like it.
LA in England, that's a gap.
It is
zone gap.
It's too much of a gap, to be very honest.
Okay, so you're in these tight quarters, you're feeling grateful for everything, but then there's like some moments on there where I felt like you really developed a more intense connection than just, you know, a colleague, or more than just, you know, somebody that you're sharing space with. Like, for instance, Tyler, you consoled him about not, you know, having not come out to his parents yet. Can you tell me about that?
I honestly think that I don't realize sometimes how confident I am and how sure of myself I am, because actually I do stuff like that with complete ease. I don't even think about it. To approach somebody, obviously I would have had to build a rapport with them. I would just come up to a stranger and be like, oi, come out to your parents.
I don't know. I feel like you might.
I don't know. I was like, Haley, I've seen you do that.
Probably have, to be fair. It's probably I'm that weird person that you try not to make eye contact with on the train. Yeah,
right. That is not true. That is the opposite of true. You're drop dead gorgeous. People can't help but stare straight at you, even if they don't want to. Oh,
on another level.
Sight to be seen.
In person, you just like.
Oh,
yeah. Duh. That's an objective fact, Haley. So we can move on from that. That is the truth.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you.
And then she opens her mouth and it's just like, oh my God.
Oh, no, it gets better. But yeah. Okay, so you're talking to Tyler because you're just super confident about this.
My love bug.
Now, Tyler, you know, he's a lot younger than I am. And
how old is he?
He's 20. If I get this wrong, he'll go mental. I'm 23.
23?
Or I could be wrong. Very young. When someone's in their 20s, I just assume they're just young.
They're just
young. Same.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, they're just young.
I feel like 28 though. 28, you're like, okay, you're a grown up now.
Yeah, but yeah. I don't date anyone under 30. Mm-mm. I do other things with people.
They're good for other things.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically, as soon as Tyler joined the boat, I took it in my stride to, you know, take him under my wing a little bit, because we were mid-season and I can't actually imagine how terrifying it is joining a boat, which is actually a TV show, with all the
cameras.
It's already built these relationships. So I immediately became, you know, I wanted to make him feel comfortable. I really wanted to be his friend, like, not in a creepy way. I just wanted to be, I'm here for you. You know, you've got me. If you've got, you know, I hope you make other friends, but you've got me. So I guess I just made that very apparent very quickly. We spent a lot of time together because we were always on cabins together. And while we were doing cabins, we were obviously messing around in people's rooms and getting caught. But also, we were talking a lot about his sexuality, about his boyfriend, him being a bit frightened about coming out. And I guess I was just so interested in helping him make this happen, because I knew it was going to be what would make him feel happy, because he was very anxious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, living authentically. You're good at that.
He was anxious. He was clearly worried. It was clearly getting to him. So I just said, look, and it did show a scene of me, which actually made me look a little bit pushy, where I'm like, oh, have you spoken to your mum? But that was literally just me asking, have you spoken to your mum in conversation? You know, it wasn't something I was prodding.
They spliced it a little bit.
I mean, I suppose it wouldn't be entertaining if they didn't do that, would it?
Yeah, you got to like sum it up somehow. So I wanted to ask you about, like, because I was on The Real Housewives of Orange County for 3 years. I know a lot about, you know, splicing and, you know, moving stuff around to make the storyline flow. So when there was a moment when you got caught in the bedroom with who were you with in there?
So Susan walked in. So boy, what happened?
Oh, yeah, I want to know what happened, because I want to know if that was real or not.
I'll tell you what happened. I was at this point, I think, what were we? There's 6 weeks of the season. I think we were on week five. So, well, no, it wasn't week five. When was it?
It was like, I think you had one more
it was
group after
when
that.
I was on.
Yeah. So what, like, anyway, regardless.
One or two, yeah.
Very tired. I was starting to lose the plot. And I used to find a little bit of entertainment in playing around with, you know, if I saw something funny, I'd pick it up and I'd maybe put it on my head or whatever the hell I
you're getting through
felt like doing. Exactly. But this time, unfortunately, Haley got caught.
But did you?
Yeah, so I was rolling around basically like a complete mess on Susan's bed, and then she just walked out. So I was like, oh shit. yeah, sorry about me. And just got up and just started slapping, basically. And poor Susan was just stood there.
You're like, we love you. I love you so much. We love you so much.
There is truth to that, though. We do love her. She's such a lovely person. And she's actually awesome. A lighthearted bit of playing around. And she just happened to walk in. Of course, she walked in.
Of course.
But honest, I think.
Did the crew make her, or did the, yeah, did the crew or like anybody make her walk in?
No. That's
that was all organic?
Yeah. It's all risk. Just walked in and was just
that's
like.
Funny. Okay. Well, what about Lakeish? Nobody liked Lakeish. She was needy.
She was a character and a half, wasn't she?
Was that produced? Like, was she doing that on purpose? What was the deal with that? She was like low key needy.
I believe greedy is probably a better description.
I was like, there's no way this bitch is being so disrespectful. There's no way. Like, this has got to be a character.
It was right in my head.
The person on breakfast when I saw Lakeish on the sofa.
Wait, so she did sleep there?
Yeah.
Yes.
I was okay, so that wasn't shown on the show, so I wasn't sure if maybe like she just did it to be like get more TV time or something and then like went back to her room.
No, I did sleep there. I mean, I'm pretty sure she did. I'm not.
Yeah, no, I asked her, I said, did you like you slept upstairs? Why didn't you sleep in the bed? And she goes, oh, I just have I'm like claustrophobic. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I didn't think anything of it.
Trossie, how are you friends with this person? You're such a nice guy. You're so respectful.
She was so sweet. I mean, I didn't see her act this way once. Like, that's the craziest part. Like, I didn't hear, you know, even when we got like the gold on our steak dinner and stuff. Yeah. I didn't know she requested that. I was like, oh, wow, Rachel made us like gold flakes on this. This is nice. Like, I literally was so oblivious to any of that. And when I watched the show, I was shocked.
So I casted for Below Deck. This is a fun fact. You've heard it here. You heard it first here, folks. So I casted for Below Deck as a guest. And I was the main person or something.
The primary.
I was the primary. Yeah. And so I got like a girls group together and we were going to go to Norway and we like were locked in and everything. We were signing contracts. I like put my contract in. It was all like signed, sealed, delivered. It was going to be a girls trip with like my friends from St. Louis. And then it fell apart because these bitches here in St. Louis got these real big heads and thought that the cameras were going to be like so interested in their story. And I'm like, it's not about you. It's about the crew. It's not about the guests. Like, we're there to go have fun. Like, believe me, you might not even be mic'd the whole time. Like, no one cares about your son's grades at school. Like, that's not going to be aired. It doesn't make any sense. But I'm not kidding. Like, they got so into their heads, like, they're going to be famous from this and they just don't want to be famous for the wrong reasons kind of thing. I couldn't handle it.
What?
So I'm like, I'm done. But that's how close I was.
Oh, Megan.
It's like
so
the vacation of a lifetime.
It would have been amazing. Amazing.
Really annoying. Maybe you should go and give a call to come back. Because I might be there when you are. You never know. That would be cool, wouldn't it? That'd be fun.
Go with you.
Okay. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's do Mediterranean this September.
Done. Sign me up.
Haley can, and maybe Haley will be working it for us. We'll be like, what's up, girl?
Yeah, Haley, when are you going back? Which one are you doing next?
Okay, so I don't actually know if I am going back. Ever knows until kind of quite a minute, because there's quite a big process that goes through, you know, with the casting. So they've got so many shows going on at all times. They've got like four shows a year.
They really do, yeah.
So they're constantly having to cast. So really, it's quite a last minute thing. And I do understand that because they've just got so much going on with casting. So it isn't something that I'm going to know anytime soon, I don't think. But
okay, well, keep me posted.
I will, Megan.
Well, you guys, thank you so much for coming on today. I love your friendship. I love how you met. This has been so much fun to chat about the insider info. And I hope that we get to meet in person. Look, I'm in the middle. I'm in St. Louis. Love that. So like, just stop here when you guys go see each other. Okay. Welcome anytime. St. Louis, Missouri, good. The middle of the country.
And you guys are always welcome to come to LA anytime, obviously.
I'm coming next week, baby.
Let me know.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Let's be in touch, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Megan.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye, Hales. Bye. Oh,
this is so cute. That was so much fun talking to them. I had so many questions that I wanted to get down to. Like, for instance, did Haley really get caught on the ship when she was in the guest bedroom? Yes, she did. And was that asshole guest really an asshole? Yes, she was. So, and by the way, their relationship is so cool. That was not shown on Below Deck at all. So it's really cool to kind of get the insider info here on Intimate Knowledge and see how the behind the scenes things work, because having been on a reality show myself, I know that things can be spliced and diced, but it sounds like from Below Deck, everything is pretty much as it seems. All right, guys, you heard it here first, because if I know, you know. Okay? Bye. See you next week.
Subscribe to Intimate Knowledge on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.